It's been a while now since an original proposal came to Falls Village about an incentive zoning location of housing in Falls Village, and it was a while ago, so I'll have to just go with my memory here. We've got a guest coming up which will be speaking about this, but it was for housing, and it was for, I do believe, I think it was for 50 units. I could be wrong about that, but anyways, that was at least, I want to say, 5-6 years ago, maybe more than that. I don't know. Anyways, it's raised its head again in Falls Village with another application, a reapplication from the Falls Village Housing Trust to put in more housing in a reduced plan. And a person who has been vocally opposed to this, not opposed to housing, but to this plan, is Coulter Rule. And kind of is being a spokesman now for a bunch of other people. Coulter, thanks for joining us on this topic today.
Thanks, Marshall. I'm honored that you'd call and show some interest. We've been working hard to get people's attention and writing letters to the editor and trying to get people to pay attention to this because it's big.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, the first proposal was pulled and went away. I think and that was the 50 bedroom application, right?
That's correct. That was they put that application in. Falls Village Housing Trust did last April, a year ago, and they only gave us 2 days notification before the PNZ meeting, planning and zoning meeting, and my gosh, we were caught empty-handed, but we still managed to get a crowd in 2 days to town hall, and within a month, Housing Trust pulled that application, withdrew that application. We were very thankful that they did. It was a bit of a shocker. It had come out of nowhere. They weren't very good at letting people know what was going on. And the incentive housing zone, which came in originally in 2013, same scenario, no notifications, et cetera. And it was a huge change for that little piece of property in Lime Rock Station, whereby the incentive housing zone, which is really meant for cities and larger towns in Connecticut, there are certain mandates that incentive housing zones have to meet, one of which is that it needs to be near a major transit hub. They're not made for Falls Village or Lime Rock Station, you know, our little neighborhood down here. So
you know, looking at this as an observer who doesn't live in Falls Village, doesn't have any dogs in this fight at all.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I remember back when this first came up that I was one of the first ones that found out that the Housing Trust was not even registered with the state at the time, and I know that was a problem. I know that you once again are opposing this second proposal. And it's not, you know, it's funny, your opposition is not necessarily based on opposition to housing. It's in opposition into the way it's being presented, the quickness in which it's being presented, and that you don't think that all the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted and that everything has been done with full transparency.
Well, that's a lot to unwrap in one sentence, Marshall. Yeah, it's a very complex, complex issue, and you know, I could stand for an hour and talk about it. I've lived in Lime Rock Station for 30 years, or owned down here and lived down here for 10 years. You know, I know the property well. I know the issues behind it. I know the players, et cetera, et cetera. But here's where we stand. We want it to go away, surely. But we also are offering options and ideas for Falls Village. We're small. We want to do housing right. You know, you only get one step up to the plate with the state. We really want to do this smarter, not like the cookie cutter giant splat housing that you see around the state, where it's nowhere near town, not relating in any way, shape, or form to town life. We want whatever affordable housing and development to be correct and to be so that we may welcome people into our small town. It makes a world of difference to be in town, to have access to libraries, churches, maybe a beer, you know, et cetera, town hall, the whole thing. People, we want people to feel part of something. And to down here in Lime Rock Station, where we just got hit by not only a hurricane, but also a tornado, we have four Habitat houses who have, you know, folks who have been here and lived and worked out of here for, it's been 15 or 20 years now. And those were Habitat for Humanity houses, and we commend them for doing that. But to put another 16-unit, 29 bedrooms down here, in our mind is, you know, far from town, 2 miles from town. Is a bit of an overreach. So that's basically where me and my compatriots and fellow townspeople stand. And it's been a miracle how, when we started doing a little pushback, Marshall, how people came out of the woodwork, little miracles. People came out of the woodwork to help and support us, and we've got a quickly growing grassroots campaign to get the Planning and Zoning and Falls Village Housing Trust and Habitat and Northwest Community of Governments and the state to just hold up, pull back, and have a better look at what our needs are.
We're speaking with Colter Rule, and what we're talking about is the opposition from citizens and some taxpayers in Falls Village about the housing proposal for Lime Rock Station Road. And what's interesting in reading up on this is that you actually claim that there are existing town-owned properties in walking distance that are more suited for this.
That is true. They were mildly investigated over the course of the last 10 years. We need to look into them further. Some townspeople, you know, there's a lot of talk in town, and people come to me with information. One is the daycare. It's been suggested that daycare could go into the Kellogg Elementary School, and the town owns, I would guess, it looks like 4 or 5 acres over there. The other one is a Borneman property, which is right across 44, which is walking distance to town within, say, 200 or 300 yards. It was 10 acres that was deeded to the town in 1993 by the Bornemans for affordable housing. That was dismissed as too wet, et cetera, et cetera. But we still believe with modern engineered systems that it's possible to put 2, 4, 6, 8 units over on 10 acres and do it right. Accessibility to town, walkability, everyone knows, and all the studies show that you've got happier citizens, new young families with children, the elderly, et cetera. People in the rural areas here want to be close to town if they need to be.
Once again, in addition to this, which is some of the facts that I've been reading, and also reading some of the letters to the editor in the Lakeville Journal.
Yeah,
this is a strange time, and it's a frustrating time for everybody because with COVID-19, Sharon has finally gotten to having some of their meetings at town hall be attended by people, but still there has to be social distancing. What you're looking for, really, as an organization who is opposed to the idea of where this is going to be placed, not opposed to affordable housing, you're looking for a COVID-compliant town meeting on this, right?
That's a fact, Marshall. We've tried the Zooms, and people don't, I mean, they're really surreal. I mean, it's like Jimi Hendrix. If one person does not mute during, you get the feedback loop is beyond belief. Yes, we believe it's mildly disingenuous that Housing Trust has come back and reapplied in the COVID environment. town meetings via Zoom are really unacceptable. They just don't work. They're, you know, there's a human component missing. And yes, we understand and we're sympathetic that they want to move forward, and but it's just not the right time. So if they want to have it, yeah, we would like to have a town meeting either at the firehouse or at Kellogg in the auditorium, in the gymnasium, with social distancing and masks, the whole thing. Hopefully, it might even spill outside because there are a number of large doors with a public address system, a real town meeting. This is huge for our town. This, if done wrong or done at all in this scale, will affect our already high mill rate, the cost, it's a big question mark. But yes, the Zoom thing doesn't work, Marshall. The other thing, I want to say two other things about this. We thoroughly understand, we oppositionists or dissenters, whatever you want to call us, that planning and zoning is volunteer, that housing trust is volunteer, that Habitat is volunteer. There are no paid workers in any of these organizations, and that they are us. We understand that. And we don't want to demonize anyone. We all realize that we're in this together. And it's not about who, what, where. It's about how. And it is about what and where, of course. But we want to back the rhetoric down a bit and get together and try to make and move forward if the thing is decided against or found to be out of compliance, that we all team back up and try to move this thing forward. We are not hostile, except it has gotten pretty hot in the Lakeville Journal. I want to say something about the free press as well, Marshall. This thing would not have gone anywhere without a free press, and particularly the folks at the Lakeville Journal. It is invaluable for our small rural area to have an asset like the Journal. And I want to do a public service ad for you sometime. Supporting free press is not free, as you know, and supporting the Lakeville Journal, it's crucial that we have a free press in this area, in Region 1 particularly.
Yeah, well, that free press is essential, especially out here, and that's what's so interesting about looking for a town meeting on this. You know, it's one of those things that maybe, and this is just off the top of my head, the town can you know, put off town meeting and just put this whole thing on hold for a month or two to see if it's even possible to hold a town meeting where people can actually show up and talk about it. Because when you go down the road of planning housing, and I know it's you know, it took Jill and I just starting this radio station, it took 2.5 years, 3 years
of
waiting,
really,
to get it together, and then and then we could put it together. So we know that there is no easy answer, especially to affordable housing out here. There are answers that have to be checked on, and I guess what I want to put across to people here is somebody without a dog in the fight, because somebody dissents on an option for affordable housing, does it mean they are against affordable housing? They are just simply requesting more information on more different topics, which I see from here. You even bring up the mill rate. We only have about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
How would this affect the mill rate in your opinion, in your group's opinion?
Well, nobody knows. Housing Trust, Falls Village Housing Trust, two of whose members live in Salisbury, or reside in Salisbury, rather. No one knows. We have gotten no answers on the effect on the bottom line for the town. Our town budget is only about $2 million. Kent is 12. Our mill rate is 2.5 times that of Salisbury, approximately. We don't have a lot of tax-yielding estates here in Falls Village. We're small if they're, let's say there are 29 bedrooms, let's pretend there are five high school students at $29,000 to $30,000 each. That's a large effect on our bottom line here. Now, we understand we all want kids to come to Falls Village, live in Falls Village, et cetera, et cetera. But we also don't know whether this property would pay taxes or not. We haven't got any hard numbers. And the Housing Trust says, oh, we won't know until after it's built. It's $3.5 million to build this this development. And that's an astounding amount of money. We're hoping the state will intercede and suggest a better way to do it, whereby we do it smaller, slower, and build a track record, help the Housing Trust build a track record that we can indeed trust, if you will. We've asked a lot of questions and haven't gotten a lot of answers, Marshall. That's the bottom line.
All right. If people want more information from you on your opposition and or maybe even to join in, how do they contact you?
Well, we haven't really put a neighborhood association together. It's only been word of mouth. We've been handing out at the post office and the town dump on Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday, trying to get people informed. I wonder, perhaps, should I give my email, or is that foolish?
No, you can give your email, absolutely.
Oh, good. It's my name, Colter Rule, Colter Rule, at gmail.com, and I'd welcome any correspondence. Many people have, I've actually been getting anonymous letters from an interested party who is in favor of, who is in favor of alternatives, and it's been, mildly miraculous how, when you start to speak up, how people come out of the woodwork to support you, to share their ideas, and that is a dialogue that we have not had in town. Town Hall has not managed to get people heard. That is part of the problem. And again, I don't want to demonize anyone, but this town needs to have a large dialogue about affordable housing, about doing it right, and letting everybody have their voice and their time and making it work. As I say, you've only got one step up at that, and this is our chance to do it now and do it right. And yes, the P&Z meeting is on September 23rd. We are concerned that it's too soon. We are concerned that people will not be heard. We are proposing a petition. We haven't written it yet, but it's a petition for a referendum that we take it to a town vote, a paper ballot. And I don't think that's unreasonable, but I have not heard one word from Town Hall, from the P&Z, or from First Selectman Henry Todd. And we would really like to begin to communicate. I've heard things like it's a done deal, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's very worrisome. So thanks, Marshall, for listening.
All right, Colter, we'll keep us updated on this because we'll follow this and publicize it as much as possible. And we might have some more tropical rains next week, so batten down your hatches.
Well, how about the chilly weather today? I finally put on a pair of blue jeans.
That's exactly right.
Maybe the Bears, all of them, will start to look for a place to sleep for a couple of months. Well, you know, good heavens.
Oh, they've got a lot of places to sleep where you guys are now, I can tell you that.
That's a fact, right up the hill on that property. I just, you know, COVID is a huge subject. I have to commend the Northwest Corner for their resilience, their self-reliance. I believe that by virtue of the environment, we are self-reliant and self-humoring, lest we forget to laugh. But there is a lot of hardship around, and we should help each other. I just put up a GoFundMe for my neighbor Bob, who got hit really hard by the tornado, and in 36 hours, we not only raised the goal of $1,000, but we're pretty close to doubling it. Bob doesn't know yet. He's a very self-reliant guy, and we're about to surprise him this afternoon. It's a very exciting time, Marshall, and I can't thank you enough for your interest.
All right, Colter, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you later.
Have a great day, Marshall. Bye.